who we come this morning and we think about, we want to be more like. He is the one. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can be here this morning to worship. We thank you for all the music that was shared with us this morning. It helps us to focus on you. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you are worthy. May you be praised today. In Jesus' name. I want you to imagine if you were on your way to the theater or a movie or something like that, and on your way there, you were caught in traffic. You got caught up in something, so now you have to try and go a little bit faster. Maybe you, as you're trying to get there, you get pulled over by a police officer. And you're like, we got to get there. We're going to miss it. So you keep racing there, you get there, and what you realize is you missed the first act. You missed the beginning of the movie, you missed the beginning of the play. So you're like, okay, well, we bought the tickets, we're gonna stay, and we're gonna try and, you know, we're here finally. We're gonna listen to this. We're gonna pay attention to this. So while you're there, all of a sudden some things start to happen. You're going, well, why is that happening? And then who's that person? What, like, why is this happening? Why? Because you missed the beginning of it. So part of it is with this new series we're going to be doing is to start to look at God's relentless pursuit of his creation. We're going to try to answer some of the questions. We're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to go through most of the Bible. Not in verse by verse, not going to happen that way. But some of the main topics, some of the main themes that are in there, so that we can understand, maybe connect the dots with things in the Old Testament and things in the New Testament. And it's kind of neat to be able to do that with you, and to encourage each other as we go through this, because it is so important, especially, you know, even with some of the songs that we sang this morning. If you didn't have a Christian context to back that up, would you understand why we sang some of those songs or what they really meant? So we're going to start in Genesis. So if you want to turn there, one of the first pages after you get past some other stuff, we're going to be in Genesis. We're going to go to some other scripture. There is, in your bulletin, there is a sheet that you can look at and you can follow along with. You can add to that because we may hit a few that are not on there. And also, by no means is this exhausted. We will be here. We would be here for a while if we were to get into all of this. But it's pretty exciting to see who God is. And we'll talk about him being in relentless pursuit of us and how exciting that is. All right, so if you're in Genesis, we're going to be looking at some of the stuff that started in eternity past through creation. And so this is basically part one. We're going to have another part in this where we'll focus more on human beings. But we have to understand who God is, get a little bit of an understanding of who God is, and then also why he created in the first place. So again, in Genesis 1, he talks about this. And again, we're looking to have a bird's eye view of what the Word of God says and what he's doing. So hopefully as we go through these next 2 weeks, we'll look at, God is directly involved in his creation and continues to be. He has been always and will continue to be. One of the things that's also important for us to know is that God created. Now, the just a little pause, but we need to know who is the one who created. Because, I mean, I try not to get too political about stuff, but I just want to point out that the new mayor of New York City was able to put his hand on the Quran and with a smile on his face, thank God for his appointment. So is his God the same God that we're talking about today? Because some people will say, well, it's God. The answer is no. But I mean, we need to be very clear on that. And quite frankly, we need to define some of these terms as we go through. We will do that. But we really have to focus on who is the one who created. Now, I don't have these in your notes, but if you would, go over to Colossians. I know I told you go to Philippians or go to Genesis. But if you go past Philippians and you go to the next book, that should be like pretty good in your Bible right now because we went there for a while. But go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, and this is talking about Jesus. So we have the New Testament, so we can go back and see who this person is. Who is the one who created? It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. We're talking about Jesus. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is that one who spoke and it was? He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke the world into existence. And as we're going to see, he created things for this earth as well. So part of this, as we go through this, hopefully even as the music, which again, just wonderful how the music ties in, but we can worship this powerful, almighty creator God. He's the one that we're talking about. He is the one who we are focused on. So this morning, as we go through this, we're trying to connect the dots. We're trying to make sure that we're on the same page and that we're talking about the same thing. Because again, we live in a postmodern world that our culture has all different ideas of who God is, what God is. Am I God? And we need to go back to what does God's word say? And that needs to be how we look at things. One of the things that is important for us to understand or try to get a handle on, can we truly understand God? But there is a word that we use that human beings came up with to explain God. This is, you'll not find the word Trinity in the Bible, but it's a word that we use to try and understand who he is, who this three distinct persons who are eternal and yet are united. They are together. So what I want you to do, we're going to look at a few of these different verses. Couple things with that. If you are interested what version of the Bible I'm using the New American Standard 2020 version. I also like to use the New Living Translation. So if you either one of those works, I may go back and forth sometimes with them. But those are typically the ones that I use. So if you have Bible Gateway or YouVersion or anything like that, you can use that if you have a device where you can get on. Or if you're looking to get a Bible or something like that, that's typically the versions that I use. So if you're interested. The other part of this is there's far more verses that are up here than we're going to be able to go through. I'm just going to pick a few out. We're going to go to them. We're going to read them. If you would like, so I'm asking for input, if you would like me to have some of the verses up on the screen so you can just kind of look at it as opposed to going to your Bible, please let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep putting a bunch of verses, and we're going to look into the Word of God. We're going to look down, and we're going to actually look at your device or your hard copy of the Bible and read it. So one of the first ones that's important for us is to know right off the bat who the Father, who the Son, who the Holy Spirit is. And we'll talk about that. This will come up over and over again as we go through it. But take a look at Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. So if you're on that first page, you might have to turn it over. And again, it says, "Then God said, let us," and that's the key to this whole thing, "let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish and the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and the livestock, and all over the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." So God created man, that's human beings, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So one of those things that, again, is so important is that who are we made by? This creator God, this all-powerful, loving creator God who made us. And that is, well, that is probably one of the main things for us as people is we are giving our lives, we are surrendering our lives to this creator God. That is what he wants. That is worship to him. Genesis 3 also talks about this. Deuteronomy 6:4. If you go over to the right, go past Leviticus, and then you'll get to Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 4. And again, this is one of those things. I have a friend who is Jewish and not a believer, and he would go, "So you tell me how three become one." And that's the struggle for some of the Jewish people. So here's what it says in Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." Why is that? Because he is these three eternal, distinct beings that are united together perfectly. There is never arguing or sharing different ideas or different opinions or whatever it is. They are working together and have always worked together. Not only that are they in unity, but they have always been. So one of the arguments for Christianity can be, well, who created God? And obviously we have a problem because we weren't there. But the answer is he has always been. There's never been a time where he wasn't. There will never be a time where he won't be. He has always existed. Again, we'll probably pick that up down the road a little bit more. But this idea of he is the one, it is the Father, it is the Son, it is the Holy Spirit who have always existed together in unity. Life has always been in God. One of the things that's also kind of neat about it is he has a grand design. I don't know if you watch BritBox, there is a show that comes on and it's called Grand Design. And they go into somebody's house or they make a house or whatever it is, but they create this house for these people. Well, God has created long ago a place for us to go, a place where one day we will ultimately worship him in person. We will see Jesus and we will be able to worship the King. So I want to take a quick look at just a couple places. 1 Timothy 1:17. Again, going over to the New Testament, going a little bit past Philippians. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says in verse 17, "Now to the King eternal," so this is Paul writing this. He says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." The songs that we sang from the Revelation song, the last one, "Is He Worthy?" All verses or songs inspired by the book of Revelation. But that same idea, He is the one. He is the King. Take a look at Romans 11, verse 36. "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever." Again, we're talking about this Creator God, this united God, this Trinity, specifically talking about Jesus, who is the Creator. Kind of can think of it as the Father is the one who designed the blueprint, Jesus is the one who spoke it, and the Holy Spirit. As you take a look at Genesis 1. So now we'll get into Genesis 1, but this one part in verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness. Before there was the earth and the universe, God was." So He was always, again, in existence. Now He's making something out of nothing. The word is ex nihilo. He made something that wasn't there before. From nothing, He made something. Why? Because He's God. Again, Jesus spoke, and we'll look at a few verses with that. He spoke, and it became. We can't do that. We have a bunch of builders in here. That's not how it works. It would be great if you could do it that way. But that's not how we can be. We can be creative in how we build, but we can't just speak and it happens. But one day we will, all of His created beings will live and worship Him in this place, in this kingdom that He has prepared for us. So the author, as I just read, is coming on to, go back to the theater idea again, he comes out to tell us what's happening. Now you're not late, now you're catching up, you're understanding who it is, but he says, "In the beginning, God created." In the beginning, God made everything. In the beginning, it says, even though there was darkness and emptiness, it was desolate. And it was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was involved in this. And it's, again, that's kind of cool. And explain it. Wasn't there, didn't see it. But the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit was there as well. The designer, the one who created, built it, the Holy Spirit as well is hovering and there over the season. That's what He was going to be doing. That's what He still does. He is at work in people's lives. We will get into, again, we'll spend more time as we go through it, looking at who God the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Take a look at Psalm 89:11. kind of in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 89:11. Not all of the Psalms are written by David. This one is written by Ethan. And he says this: "The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains. You, God, have established them all." And again, so many different places in the Bible go back to God is the creator. He is that author who steps out onto the stage and he is telling us, this is what I did. So part of this is the author also created two different kinds of beings. So he created different things. He created the earth. He put things on the earth. But he created two different kinds of personal subjects for his kingdom. He created a kingdom. Now there are going to be his creation filling that kingdom. Two different kinds are angelic beings as well as human beings. Hopefully you can see that. We're going to just look at a few of the verses. So if you're ready to go back into it, we're going to be looking at the angelic beings. Some of them are, these are spirit beings, so not possessing body or flesh. So that's important. So when we talk about that, we talk about God the Father. God the Father is spirit. The Holy Spirit is spirit, not having a body or flesh, but our spirit. So God created angelic beings who are like that. And again, there are a couple different verses you can go to, Matthew 22 and Hebrews 1. So again, you're welcome to take a look at this. You have it on the sheet. You can add some if you would like. Also, they have intellect. They are intelligent beings. You look at Genesis 19, 1 and 2. If you just turn to the right a little bit. It says, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he stood up to meet them and bowed down his face to the ground. And he said, 'Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way.' They said, 'No, but we shall spend the night in the public square.'" Now, there's a little bit more of a story to that. But so Abraham saw them. He was able to see them, and he was able to eat with them and wash their feet because God allowed them to come into, be able to be seen. Gone from the unseen world into seen world. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, there's another part of this where it talks about they are messengers. So verse 14, if you look at Hebrews 1:14, that's not up there, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to provide service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" So part of what the angels do is they serve God's other beings, and that would be his human beings. Not in the sense of doing whatever we want, but they are there. They're protecting us. They're overseeing us. One of the things that's also interesting, they're more powerful, which is interesting, they're more powerful than us or anything else that God created. So it's kind of interesting to see that these angels have great power. Intelligence, power, you are able to see them at times. They're also superior angels that have greater intelligence, power, and authority. So you can see that again in Daniel, in Ephesians, in Colossians 1. But it talks about those three are Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer, you may also recognize as he would be the one, his name would be changed, and he would be the one who would rebel against God. We're going to get into that next week. But you have Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer are those archangels, those ones who he created who were specifically over the rest of the angels. Along the lines of what was saying earlier from Revelation 5:1, what are the number of angels? So if you go to Revelation 5, verse 11, all the way toward the back of your Bible, it says this, "Then I looked and I heard the voices of the many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands and thousands." So think of it this way, there's a lot of created beings, and that's not including the fallen angels, who we would say are demons. They're not there in the presence of God. So there's even more than that. And again, we'll be looking at that as we go through this in the future. All right, so this is just a little idea of one of the created beings that God made, one of the subjects that he made for his kingdom. The other are human beings, that's us. So that first being, Adam, was made governor over the earth and responsible to be the administrator on behalf of the king. So we see that in Genesis 1, and we also see it in Psalm 8. So again, if you're welcome to go there, but again, there's plenty to look at. One of the things when you look at the word Genesis means beginnings. So when we look at this, we're going to be seeing not only the first people, but also the first government. We're going to see a lot of firsts. This first government was supposed to be, or was, a theocracy, and it was supposed to stay that way. But it didn't. And we'll get, again, that's next week. God created man. So if you would, go back to Genesis 2. Let's read this. Genesis 2, verse 7. "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person." So from that, we're not told how God created angels, but he does tell us how he created human beings. So from Adam, a woman would come who would be named Eve. And from Eve, after Eve was created, then since then, all people would be created through the mother, in a sense created through the mother, given birth by the mother. Except for, we were talking about with Jesus, again, we will spend some time with that down the road. There's also this universal kingdom of God that was established. And I just want to read Genesis 1:31 to you. And we'll end with that. But isn't it interesting? Look at Genesis 1:31. He said, "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Again, New Living Translation, I just like the way that it says it. It says, "Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was excellent in every way." So it was very good. So what God had done was created. He had established a kingdom, and he had established subjects that would live in that kingdom, that are supposed to live in that kingdom. So every person is supposed to be part of this kingdom. That's how God set it up. That's how he designed it. And again, we'll get into this as we go along, why that isn't the case. And that is because of us, not because of God. So this morning, just kind of looking over these things that have to do with the beginning of all things, So we have an opportunity to worship. We have an opportunity to go to him. And I don't know about you, I was just kind of thinking through some of the things. A few weeks ago, we passed out the missions guide, prayer guide. There are people that we need to be praying for who are out sharing the word of God with others. I don't know about you, but January always seems to be a good time to start something or restart something. Maybe you need to get back into reading God's word again. What we're going to do with this series is as we go through on Thursdays, we'll be sending out the upcoming scripture that we're going to be looking at. So you can take a look at it yourself. You can make that a study for yourself, and you can start to go through it. I would also encourage you to spend time in prayer. Be in prayer for us as a church, for our missionaries, for you. Even if you know a bunch of this, what can you learn from this? Can you worship God through this? And there are going to be people in here who don't know this, who haven't connected the dots. Can you help somebody to understand a little bit better? And then also, I want to encourage you to look for opportunities to serve and to fellowship. One of the things that's important in a church, as one of God's subjects, he wants us to be involved in what he is doing. And he's given us many opportunities to do that. He wants us to help, to show love to other human beings. That is a way of worshiping God. So, one of the things we're also going to be doing today as part of worship is to spend some time with communion, to worship this all-powerful, all-knowing God. So as part of our worship this morning, we'll be doing that, and I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 11 to you. Now I'll be calling the elders up to distribute the elements this morning. And I just want you to think about it as we go to this and as I read this to you, this is an opportunity to express our gratitude for all that Jesus did. And this is part of being obedient to what he has said to do, to remember him, to remember what he has done. Why? Because he alone is worthy. He is the one to be remembered. So this is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to do that. It says, this is Paul writing to the people in Corinth. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" His body was going to be beaten and bruised, bloodied. It would be pierced with the nails. Verse 25, it says, "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people,'" his subjects, those who believe in him. "But it's a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Verse 27, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." We'll have some time where you can do that before we take it together. "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. verse 31. But if we would examine ourselves, and that means me as much as you, but if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. And he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. So that is part of what we will be doing. This is part of the instruction that Paul gives to us as we worship God by taking communion. So again, this is a time to remember what Jesus has already done. So gentlemen, would you come forward?